Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3. And today we may be preaching from a familiar passage, but that's all right because it's good to go back and remember some of these things. And I want to take a look at this. You know, Brother Craig was in Genesis chapter 3. And I'm in Daniel chapter 3. These are familiar passages to those of us who grew up in church. Sometimes we think of them as Sunday school stories or whatever, but the fact is that these are more than stories. This is true history. True history. The Bible is the history book of the universe.
That's right.
And we don't ever outgrow the truth of what really happened. And so in Daniel chapter 3, we begin reading at verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nation, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We'll stop there. We'll take our text today from verse 18. Verse 18, and the title of my message is The If Nots of Our Faith. The If Nots of Our Faith. Here we find this time. These three Hebrews, young men, children, as the Bible, and we sometimes call them, they were probably adolescents or teenagers when they first were taken captive. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which that wasn't the names that they were born with. These were the names that they were given when they were taken into Babylonian captivity. Strange country, strange food, strange customs, strange religion. You and I, we may not have ever thought that we would ever have a scenario like that, but here we are in Southeast Georgia. And sometimes we don't recognize the country that we grew up in. And I dare say that it's going to get worse and worse as time goes along. It's just about every year, sometimes every day, when you think things couldn't get any worse, it does. I used to sit back and read and think, why in the world didn't Lot just leave Sodom and Gomorrah? And now I kind of understand it, because here we are. The only difference is we didn't go looking for it. It came to us. I'm driving through different parts of the South, and I see old church buildings that aren't being used anymore. I'm starting to see other things that probably haven't been seen until recently. Hindu temples and Muslim whatever. And look, I think we ought to help our friends out in other places, but you can't tell me that thousands upon thousands of Afghanistans are all friends. And furthermore, guess what they're bringing with them? They're bringing their Muslim religion. And if all them people need help, why ain't the Muslim countries opening up their borders to help them out? Why do we have to? Somewhere, sometime along the way, and it's already happened in some places, up in Detroit and some of those areas up in Michigan, there's going to be a conflict about Sharia law and all that sort of thing, and we're going to see a scenario played out similar to this. Similar to this. And we could get into all sorts of things. I mean, we could talk about the size of the image. We could talk about all. But listen, folks, the reality is the size doesn't matter. It could have been a small thing. It could have been a large thing. But the fact is, it was large, by the way. But still, the thing about it is, the principle is the same. The principle is the same. If you go back to the beginning of Daniel chapter 1, in verse 8, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Somebody said, well, it's just a dietary thing. It's just a meat. It's just a drink. It's just a small thing. Why is Daniel making a fuss of it? Because he knew what the law was where he grew up. He knew what God expected out of his people. And so he said, no, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here. Let them change my name. Let them make me speak their language. But I'll not break the law of my God, even in the so-called small things. Now, we could speculate all day long about where Daniel was in Daniel chapter 3. But let me tell you, it was either that he was out of town, or he just didn't get caught like the other three. But I guarantee you, I can tell you where he wasn't. He wasn't bowing down to that idol either. He wasn't in following along with the crowd. But we'll be faced with something. I don't know what it'll be. It may be that we'll have to go over yonder to the state church or the state Muslim temple or follow Sharia law, or they'll take it so far as to make it's crazy the way that the liberals will follow along with the Muslim and all that sort of thing. I saw a CNN news anchor when Afghanistan fell. She covered herself head to toe. Now, and she did that out of respect for Islam. I guarantee you, if she'd been covered in a Christian story, and if her skirt would have been too short or something, and somebody would have said something, hey, you need to cover up a little better, she would have said, y'all are sexist, and who are you to tell me what to do? And she would have been screaming from the rooftop of how bad Christianity is against women. But look at what they'll do for Islam. It's not religion that they hate. They love religion. They hate Christianity and they hate Christ. That's the reason for it. But the minute that this country gets swept over with this garbage and it gets incorporated into our laws, and we refuse to cover our women the way that they say that they ought to be covered, we refuse to bow the knee towards whatever way that their temple is, or whatever it is that we refuse to do, or the fact that we show up to church when they say we shouldn't, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came into such a time as that. And I love Daniel 3. I've loved it since I was a kid, and I love it more as I get older. And this king got to the point, like so many other kings, he got very arrogant. If you look there in verse 15, he said, Who is that God? Who is this God that shall deliver you out of my hands? I don't care whether you're talking about Nebuchadnezzar, King George, Hitler, Obama, Biden, Trump, they all get arrogant, don't they? And they all get arrogant, and you got to watch them. There's got to be something to hold them back. And Nebuchadnezzar got real arrogant and said, who is that God? Now they were put in a spot. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. They knew God could stop him. And this is important. They knew God could. But they didn't know if he would. Right? Knowing that God can is one thing. And we have to be careful. Because guess what? Sometimes preachers and Christians get into trouble with this sort of thing. Didn't we just see this with the election? God is able and God will sort this election out, and Trump is going to be declared the winner, and they were all over the news, and of course CNN and everybody's gobbling them up. And guess what happened? Who's in the White House and who isn't? It ain't Trump. And even though Trump had his faults, he sure was a lot better than Biden. And I wish that they were right, but they weren't. And so we've got to be careful, and we could take some clues from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in these times. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, oh, we know he's able, king, but he might not. And if he doesn't, know this, O king, we're winners either way. We win no matter what. We win, you lose." We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he'd seen a lot. He'd been around a lot of enemies. He had probably executed a lot of people, but I'm sure he'd never faced anybody like that before. Here's these young men, and they said, "We're going to win no matter what. Kill us, whether we live or whether we die, king. We're going to win, and you're not going to. We're not going to bow. You can't make us." After some 30 years of reading this, studying it, thinking about it, considering it, I often think about what it would have been like for me. What would I have done if I would have been in their shoes or in their sandals, as it were, standing before the king? Now, if you're like me, you don't like controversy or conflict, but sometimes there has to be. There has to be. They didn't go out looking for trouble. Trouble found them. And I suppose that the temptation is often there to lay low and be quiet. We're all faced with that kind of a choice in any dilemma that we're in. They may have been faced with that dilemma too. Well, here's all these thousands of people perhaps that are bowing down, all this music going on. No one will notice if we just bow down like they do. That's what the flesh might say. No one will see me. My parents are dead. The priest, who knows where he's at? I'm here in a strange land. Just this one time won't hurt. Temptation. They didn't fall for that, did they? If you haven't been placed in a situation like that, just wait, it'll happen. And peer pressure isn't just for young people. Oh, we talk about young people and peer pressure. But Brother Craig knows, and I know. Jill knows. Sister Faye knows. Peer pressure is for adults too. You get in the right crowd, the right people, man, and they're all thinking that you're going to go along. Wait a minute. Hold up. Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. Verses 12 and 13. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? Nebuchadnezzar's not going to last forever. Biden's not going to last forever. Fauci, y'all might think he's lasted forever, but he's not going to be around forever. Right? These things will come and they go. And if we stop and we think for a little bit, we've been through this before. Y2K. The swine flu. The coronavirus. The Delta variant. Who knows what's next? We'll get through this. But we can't compromise the truth. There's some things we can't compromise. Now, there's some things that we have to learn as we go. You know, there's no chapter and verse that says whether we ought to wear a mask or not. But I can give you a chapter and verse that'll tell you that the government has no business telling us whether we should wear one.
That's right.
I tell people when they ask about church, I tell them, hey, come to church. Wear a mask if you want. Don't wear one if you don't want to. That's your choice. If you've been vaccinated, that's not my business. If you've not been vaccinated, that's not my business either. I'll tell you what 99% of this is all about. It's trying to divide the American people so that some bad actors can try to take control of this country. And we got to rise above that. God's word said, "Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die? The Son of Man shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy Maker, stretch forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth." God is still in control. And look, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in that crowd, they may have thought, maybe the temptation was there. No one will notice. No one will see. But the reality is, the judge of the earth, the creator of the world, he sees. When they die, as they would eventually, they would not stand before their peers to be judged. They will not stand before Nebuchadnezzar to be judged. They'll stand before the Lord and give an account for their service. And their service, and your service, and my service, isn't just the public service. It's public, private, and everywhere in between. We'll give an account of those things. Over in John chapter 12. John 12, 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him because of the Pharisees. They did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, how sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Lay low, don't say a word. Follow the crowd a bit. Try not to get into trouble with men, and you'll get the praise of men. You'll get the praise of men. And there were folks like that even in the Lord's day. And I thank God that He looks at the heart. He knows the heart. But we need men who are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need men like that. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You stop and think about people like that who rat out three people. You think they go to the report, take the report to the king and say, you know, king, most everybody was doing what you said to do. Maybe because I'm a glass half full kind of a guy. And I like to look at things on the positive side. If everybody was doing except for three, I think that's a pretty good percentage. But as Christians, we'll always have a target on our back. People watching us more than anybody else. And they've got an agenda. And the agenda is to try to destroy or discredit who you are and what you're about. They refused. They refused to bow down. They were being watched even when they thought that no one was watching. Even if they thought that no one was watching, they were being watched. And that's the way it is. To do otherwise would have been sin. In 1 John chapter 3, we often talk about sin. We very seldom define it. In fact, if you ask people what sin is, a lot of times you get a list of things, but really, very simply, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, in 1 John 3 and 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So sin is the breaking of God's law. That's why you can find no hope in the law. We've broken it. The law condemns. There's no hope to be found there. And so, you know, whenever you look at these fellows that are trying to be saved by the keeping of the law, man, they failed. They failed. Even our brothers, he was bringing out in Genesis chapter 3, the picture there, Adam and Eve trying to clothe themselves with fig leaves. That was them trying to do their own works. They failed at it. God had to come along and give them proper clothes. God had to clothe them. In and of ourselves, we fail at our own works. And time again, we fail. After we're saved, we try to do that which is right and pleasing to God, do our best to keep in God's law, not in order to be saved or to keep saved, but because we're saved. And these three, they had no choice in the matter, really. If they wanted to please God, they had to refuse to bow down to that idol. That was it. This is what they knew. Over in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Beginning of verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It's important. It's important. There has to be redemption before there's obedience. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. You see, this is the kind of thing that they'd been taught from their youth up. They knew this to be true. In Exodus 23 and verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. Thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. Even in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 4. Leviticus 19 and verse 4. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Being a Christian, being a follower of God, is always countercultural. Now, they could have reasoned in themselves, well, I'm already, here I am. I'm out of my homeland. I'm out of mommy and daddy's house. This is their country, their culture, their customs. What have I got to lose? All hope is lost. But they didn't do that, did they? Because regardless of how their citizenship on earth may have changed, their heavenly citizenship did not. And always keep that in your memory. Because regardless of what flag flies over the Capitol building, regardless of what country they call this, regardless of whether you're in mommy and daddy's house, God's word does not change. It's easy to swim with the fish. Anybody can do that. Even a dead fish can go with the current. But it takes a live one to swim against the current. And God has given us His word and told us, don't be like the world. Be different. Be different. These guys weren't going to bow no matter what. Look there at our text. In Daniel chapter 3. And you know how badly our culture has changed since even I was growing up. You know, Brother Craig, did you say you're 59 today? 59. I'm 40. Even since I was a kid, things have changed so much. You realize that there are kids, there are adults my age who have never heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have never read Genesis 1 to 11, don't have no clue about what Brother Craig read in Genesis chapter 3. In my youth and Brother Craig's youth, these were things that were taught in homes, in churches. But when you don't go to church, And when your parents aren't teaching you the things of God, you're ignorant about that thing. Now, I can tell you, kids today and people my age, they can tell you who the Avengers are. They can tell you all about DC Comics. But they have no clue about the Word of God. They can tell you about Disney. But nothing. Nothing about God's Word. It's sad. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." These are some of the most courageous words that were ever spoken. Not a lapse in faith, as some people might think. The question was, who is this God that can deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Oh, we know who, what God that is. He is able." They answered him directly that way, but they did not presume to know the secret will of God. I can tell you from reading the scriptures what God can and can't do, but I can't tell you whether he will do it in this specific moment. But either way, they weren't going to bow. God would deliver them. You see, there are if nots in our faith too. And we must understand that. And what a beautiful place it is to rest our head on the sovereignty of God and understand that. That sometimes we are faced with a situation that we're praying for, perhaps even begging God to answer us on something. But we must understand that even though he's able, he might not. And so there are if nots in our faith quite frequently. We may be praying for a cure. It might be a cure for cancer, a cure for coronavirus. It may be a cure for something else we're going through. There's no such thing as a minor procedure. At least, someone said the only minor procedure is the one that someone else is going through. Right? The things that we're going through are major. And we may be praying for God to work a miracle in our lives to get rid of that thing, and he may not. He may not. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked the Lord 3 times. Remember his answer? "My grace is sufficient for thee." Oh, we may be praying for the salvation of an unbelieving spouse, the return of backslidden children. We may be praying for the preservation of America, the return of a soldier that's gone off to war. Oh, there's so many things. Sometimes God may deliver in the way that we pray. But other times, he might not. We must never assume that just because God can, that he will. Understand this, beloved, that there are if nots in our faith. And the sooner we realize this, the better off we are. There are times when people don't understand that, and they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray and they pray, and then God doesn't answer their prayer the way that they want Him to, and so then they get mad at God. Oh, we ought not to be that way. Because what happens? A death in the family, or some major setback somewhere. They quit church, they give up, they're gone. All those things ought to drive us closer to the Lord, not further away, understanding that our Lord knows best. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego understood. We don't know God's will. He hasn't revealed to us every single little bit. But we understand that we're winners either way. We're winners either way. Don't think for a moment that just because God says no, or just because God says wait a while, that means He doesn't care. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that. He does care. He knows best. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He does know best. And notice too, beloved, that as we consider this passage, and we've got so much we could look at here, but notice too that they didn't try to bargain with God. Oh, how many bargainers have we got? Even I've tried it in my younger day. Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll just hear me on this, I'll do this. This and this for you. God's not interested in our bargaining abilities. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Folks, He made a whole world without any of us. Let me tell you how good God is, how perfect He is. He made this whole universe without a team of experts to tell Him how it ought to be done. And He did it right the first time. God is not a man that we can persuade Him to do what we want by offering something in return. That'll work in the business world, but not with God. Oh, if you've got sin in your life, you ought to repent for it, for sure. But we ought not to try to bargain with God. Look at their answer again. He says, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Their answer to the king was focused on what was right, not on the results. Part of our problem here in this country is we're focused on results. We're results driven. There was a movement that swept through this country here a while back, the purpose-driven church. And man, so many churches got caught up in that sort of thing. And it was like this subscribed method. You know that guy, he even sent sermons to the preachers and told them to preach his sermons to get the results that people needed. Like there's some magic formula in that sort of thing. And no doubt some of the sermons were good, but I don't think that's right. It's what we ought to be focused on is what's right, not on the result. There's great peace and satisfaction to be found regardless of the situation or the result when we focus on what's right. Do what's right and the Lord will bless. The Lord will bless. Yeah, will we find some problems along the way? Well, maybe. Maybe, but those problems might be blessings in disguise. A loss of friends. Maybe there were people that we ought not to be hanging out with in the first place. Ridicule. Well, I'm sure we can handle that. A small church. Well, what's the alternative? Are we going to sell out to get a big church? I'd rather have a small church with the truth and some good fellowship than have a big church full of a bunch of people that are interested in entertainment and false tickling of the ears. Loss of a job or promotion. Well, I was looking for a job when I got the one I had, right? A fiery furnace. That's what these guys faced. Life or death, we win either way. You see, as people of God, we ought to purpose in our hearts to serve the Lord. They purposed in their hearts long before there was ever an idol set up that that's what they were going to do. They were going to serve the Lord. And so when it came to this, if not of their faith, when it came to that idol being set up, they weren't scrambling around wondering what to do. They didn't have to have an emergency meeting. Shadrach wasn't leaning over to Abednego saying, "Hey, what do you think we ought to do about this?" Meshach over there going, "Man, I don't know." They knew. They knew already. Why? They were grounded in the Scripture. They knew already. Hey, we didn't ask to be here, but here we are. Now we stand. We're not bowing down. Sometimes there's going to be troubles in your life. Some of the troubles we ask for. But other times, there's things that we don't ask for. Things we didn't plan for. This was definitely something they didn't plan for, but guess what? The Lord knew that it was going to happen. They stood. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bend. And guess what, brother? They didn't burn either. They didn't know that when this all started. But God did. And you can go home and read the rest of the story there. But you see, even before Romans 8:28 was written, they believed it. We'll close with this in Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Say, how in the world could they know that? Because they knew the God behind that. May God help us to put our full faith and trust in Him. To know that there are if nots in our faith. And we can rest easy knowing. And not worry ourselves sick over those things. But knowing that regardless of how God works these things out, He's got it worked out. Long even before we come to Him with our problem. May God add a blessing to His word. Let's stand to be dismissed.